Come on, come on, somebody. Does anybody love Jesus in the building? Amen, amen, amen. Well, hey, why don't you do this with me, church? Why don't you welcome everybody that is joining us live online right now? Come on, church. We want to tell you we love you. Thank you so much. We're live on Facebook. We're going to have people watch this message throughout the week. Maybe not if they hear that I'm preaching and Pastor Andy is not here. But hey, why don't you do this for me? Look at someone next to you and say, I just love you. Even if you don't mean it, lie to them. I'm going to give you a chance to repent here in just a little bit anyways, okay? So it's going to be good. Man, I'm so excited to be in here this morning. If you guys don't know who I am, my name is Travis, and I get to serve on our students team here at Desperation Church. And because I get to serve on our students team here and I have the microphone, I do want to make a shameless plug for the extravagantly good-looking guy that was in the black shirt on the screen just a second ago when he was talking about Summer Student Week. If you're a sixth grader going into seventh grade, welcome to student ministry. It is awesome. And it all begins this week. If you're seventh grade all the way through college starting tomorrow night right at our downtown campus in the middle of Coleman City. We're going to have our summer student night. It's going to be awesome, incredible, high energy worship. It is a service that is geared and tailored just for you. And then, of course, we're going to have stuff every night of the week. We're going to have a pool party at all three campuses on Tuesday night, a post-converge party after each converge service and our JV middle school service right here at Coleman campus. Then on Thursday, y'all pray for us because we're going to Six Flags, okay? So our goal The goal is not only have a good time. People are clapping like, yes, you can do it. You should pray, okay? Our goal is not only to make it to Six Flags, it's to make it back from Six Flags, okay? With everyone that we came with and hopefully not any more that we didn't come with, okay? Which can't happen, believe it or not. And then on Friday, we're taking that day off, praise God, to Sabbath. And then on Saturday, we're serving at all three locations with our student ministry. So I would encourage you, if you're a student, get involved. The time is right now. But if you got your Bibles, I want you to go to Romans chapter 12, verse 10. And we have got a topic today that I'm really excited about. And it's a topic that really it describes the culture of our church. And it's the topic of honor. Everybody say honor. Now, come on, if you ever heard me preach before, you know I like when you preach back to me. Come on, say honor.
Honor.
Come on, look at someone next to you and say, I just honor you right now. How weird was that? But we're talking about this topic of honor, and I could not begin this message. And we do this every time. Anytime someone takes this platform, I think you guys notice this and you see this, but anytime someone takes this platform, we always give honor where honor is due. And Pastor Andy doesn't even like this, but I will never approach his stage without giving him honor. And I want to tell you about who Pastor Andy is. He's crazy, number one, okay? The crazy guy you see up here is the crazy guy that is in our meetings each and every single week, okay? And so I want to tell you that he is absolutely crazy, but he is crazy in love with Jesus, okay? And let me tell you, Martin Luther King said that we should describe people by the content of their character, and the content of character is described by what people do when nobody else is looking and when nobody else is watching. Let me tell you where your pastor is every day at 8 a.m. He's in his office, the blinds down, music is loud as it can go. Nobody can get anything done because he can't hear, okay? Music as loud as it can go, and he is fighting through hell and back for you. He is praying for you. So here's what I would ask you to do is this. Yeah, you can clap for us. As he is praying for you, I would ask that you do this. You pray for him and fight for him as much as he is fighting for you, because I promise you that that is happening. And so we're talking about honor today. And like I said, this is really just kind of a part of the culture of our church. And with the topic of honor, it's really something that's kind of fading away inside of our culture. And I believe it's fading away inside of our culture because it's starting to fade away inside of the home. We've been in the middle of this series called Home Improvement. That's literally what we're talking about, is how to improve the home. And really today we're going to pinpoint what it's like to be a child, to honor your parents, and then what's it like to be a spouse, to honor each other, to honor each other as spouses. But really the word honor holds so much weight. In fact, that's actually the root word, the meaning of it inside the Hebrew. But the word honor is something that we're kind of seeing fade away. Like I remember when I was growing up, my dad always used to tell me, he said, hey son, if you're ever in a crowded building and you're sitting down somewhere and a lady walks in the room, you get up and you you offer her your chair. Anytime a lady walks up to the door, you make sure that you hold that door open. Man, I get convicted every time I am somewhere. There will be a woman, slowest woman on earth, but she could be 100 miles away, and I know I just gotta sit there because I'm like, ma'am, if I get to heaven one day and my dad sees that I close this door, he's gonna beat me up in the middle of heaven. I don't know if you can do that. Right, but it's kind of something that we're seeing kind of slip away from our culture, and we still see it a lot really right here in the South. We're kind of protected by honor just a little bit. And then I want to let you know this is something that we work very, very hard on inside this church, is to protect a culture of honor. And inside of our church, inside of our staff, we have five core values. It's simplicity, excellence, fun, unity, and generosity. And really probably the most important of those core values is unity. And I want to let you know this, is that honor is the glue that holds unity together, right? So for us inside this church, man, we really get to be a part of something special. And I want to let you know that's not just on Sundays. It's not just getting up here talking in front of people about how awesome Pastor Andy is and something that I just did. Really, that goes to each and every single day. In fact, each and every single Monday, we have our Monday morning meetings that are led by Linda Stone. And it is awesome. It's an incredible time. It's an intense time sometimes. But there's something that is always, always, always included inside that Monday morning meeting. And that is building our culture of honor. So my goal for you today is, as a church, you're just going to come into our Monday morning meetings. And when we go into those meetings, it's not just business. We're not just talking about wins versus improvements. We're not just talking about what went wrong on Sunday. And some of you guys, like, you would be amazed at the stuff that we see that you never see. It's not just talking about all the things that we need to fix. It's not just talking about planning. One thing that we do that I think is just so unique, it's so unique in our generation, and it's very unique with our church and with our staff, is that we just take time and we honor each other. If you came into our Monday morning meetings, you might hear one of our staff members talk about Cody Miller and how he's probably the most excellent guy on our staff, one of the most hardworking people that you would ever meet. And he basically works out of a closet each and every single week, and he never, ever complains about it. If you were in our meetings, you would hear someone probably call out Callie Tidwell and how she receives all of these creative requests and all these graphic requests and all these video requests, and she always does it with a smile on her face. You might hear somebody call out Brianna Goodwin for being too good at what she does, because she makes those backdrops that everybody likes to take pictures in front of and put on Instagram for Mother's Day and Father's Day and all of that, and she's still recruiting for Leadership U. You might hear somebody talk about Molly Harden and how they came back to the office at 7 o'clock one night, and Molly is still the last one in the office working her fingers to her bone so that guys like me can have ministry in an easier capacity. What we do is, man, hey, we see the good in people. Guess what? We don't just see the good in people. What do we got to do? We got to call out the good in people. And I'm going to begin the message how I really end the message. And that's exactly what Jesus did with us, right? Jesus knew our complete depravity and chose to distinguish us anyways, right? He knew the worst of the worst. And what did he do? He said, I don't just see you for who you are right now. I know who that is. I know who you are in the worst of your sin. I know who you are in the worst place of your life. I know the dirtiest thing that you've ever done. But guess what? I don't just see you for who you are. I see you for who you can be. And that's the way our culture should be. And that's the way we see you here at this church. Because here's a cool part about Monday morning meetings. Let me tell you about it. This is the fun stuff. It's not just calling out our staff. It's when we talk about our Connect team. It's when we talk about guys like Kenny Royal, who has convinced, maybe hypnotized, maybe bribed people to come and be a part of the 5:45 a.m. setup team. I'm like, Kenny, I don't even know how you convince people to do that. He's like, man, I just invite them. They get plugged into church. I don't know what it is. I'm like, that's anointing, bro, to get people to come here at 6 a.m. And they do it with a smile on their face. I'm like, what are y'all on right now, man? I'm trying to, I need someone, Lisa, make me some coffee, you know what I'm saying? Or Leah Price over at our ARAB campus. Y'all may not know who Leah is, but we all know who Leah is. Why? Because she works a full-time job. She's in the middle of a great relationship, but she leads three small groups in ARAB. Or my man, Evan Grace, who is a student. I love him, but Evan, let me tell you about Evan. Evan is a young man who, he's the first one to show up at his crew, and guess what? He's the last one to leave. He's always setting up. He's always tearing down. And here's the thing. These people, guess what? People make the play. And people deserve honor. In fact, why don't we honor our Connect team right now? Come on, can we give it up? Everybody that serves on this stage. There's so many heroes that don't hold a microphone. You need to know that. And that's really what we want to communicate, is that, man, hey, we're here to honor each other. We're here to have each other's back. And here's what honor is, basically, if you want to simplify it down to anything, is honor is treating others more important than you treat yourself. Honor is looking to other people and say, you know what? I'm not looking at your mistakes. I'm not looking at you the way that the world looks at you. I'm looking at you the way Jesus sees you. And I'm looking at you for who you can be. So I'm going to call out the great in you. And I'm going to honor you whenever you do something good. Man, it's something that really needs to dive down deep inside of our culture. And really, I want to filter this message through these things right here. I'm going to read these off. If you're taking notes, they're going to ask for them when you get to heaven, okay? So make sure that you write these down. This is going to be a question and answer test. I'm just telling you. I think that's somewhere in Scripture. It's this. Honor is very powerful when you give it. Know that. Honor is for man. Glory is for God. Okay? Honor has nothing to do with a person's mistakes. Honor is looking past the individual. Honor has nothing to do with the position. Honor has everything to do with the position, not the person. In fact, let me do this. I'm going to pray for us and we're just going to dive into this message in the home improvement series on honor. If it's good, say good.
Good.
Let me pray. God, we love you. Lord, I pray in Jesus' name that ultimately, God, today, that this whole service, everything we do from every worship song that we sing, God, to everybody that we talk about, God, would just be to honor and glorify you. Jesus, I thank you, Lord, that you saw us in our complete depravity, God, and decided to distinguish us anyways, Jesus, that whosoever would believe in you would not perish, but have everlasting life. Jesus, let us go ahead and walk in that everlasting life today, God. Let us not stay who we are, God, but become who you want us to be. Jesus, we love you and we praise you. And everybody said,
amen.
Oh, come on, church, you got to do better than that. Everybody said,
amen.
I love this section right here. You guys shout me down. You are blessed. Be blessed today. I don't know if that works, but I did it, okay? It was about 6:45 in the morning, about 5.5 months ago, when God's not up, by the way, at 6:45. And I was out running with my pastor, and I don't know why I was out running at 6:45 in the morning with my pastor, other than I'm gonna talk about obedience in just a second. You just do what they say, okay? He's like, boy, you wanna come running with us? I'm like, that's a genius idea. What? Right? And so I'm running with my pastor, and my wife is about 8 months pregnant at the time. And with twins, by the way. If you didn't know I had twins, you can pray for me and write me a check, okay? Yeah, it's good. Hey, by the way, I'm not held responsible for anything I say today, okay? I got a little boy that don't sleep, except for he did last night. That had to be Jesus. Y'all pray for him. He needs Jesus, okay? But it was about 6:45 in the morning. We were taking our last steps in the middle of this 3-mile run from Satan. And my phone starts ringing, and it's Michelle. And I'm like, okay. I'm putting some numbers together. She's about 8.5 months pregnant, and she's calling me at 6:45 in the morning. I doubt she's calling me to pick up breakfast, you know what I'm saying? And so I pick up the phone, and just the sweetest little voice in the world was like, Travis! I'm just playing. She didn't do that. She said, hey, I think we need to go to the hospital. And I'm like, what's going on? What's happening? She's like, I can't describe that over the phone right now. And I'm like, okay, well, I'll be there. And we finish up running. And I said, guys, I think I just got the call. And they were like, he's getting the call. And Andy's like, boy, get in my truck. We got to get you back to your car. And so we get in the truck. And man, the first thing that went through my mind, like I was like, man, today my life is going to change. And you would think I was thinking, because I'm going to be a dad. And that's not what I thought. I thought, I get to drive as fast as I want. And nobody can say anything about it. So I get Michelle, I pick her up. I'm just playing, that didn't happen either. We waddle out to the car. And I'm preaching on honor, be better. We get out to the car, and Michelle, she's the sweetest thing through the whole process. She's just smiling the whole time. And I'm like, I just start driving. I get up to like 100 miles an hour, and she's like, hey, I'm telling you, there's no reason for you to be doing this. And I'm like, hey, I'm telling you, this is the only time in my life I'm going to get to do this, okay? And so we're going down 65 all the way to Birmingham, just flying past people, okay? And then we get down to the Fultondale area, and I slow down to about 85 miles an hour, okay? Like, it's not even really that, but I kind of drive that fast all the time, right? I slow down to about 85 miles an hour, and there's a cop right up in front of us, and I got a decision to make at this moment. I'm like, do I go past the cop, you know, and just give him the wave? Like, I got the flashers on. I'm basically you right now. You know what I'm saying? And so that's the decision I made. So I go past the cop, but I like pull up next to him, and like you can see my wife's belly, like it's above the threshold. And I said, it was beautiful. And I look at the cop, I'm like, pregnant. You know, give him the wink right there. And I just go past him. He's just looking at me. And I go past him. I'm like, it's okay. He knows what's happening right now. He knows you're pregnant with twins. And so I go past him. Well, he just pulls right on behind me and pulls me over. And so at this moment, I'm thinking like, what is this guy thinking, right? And so he gets out of the car and he's walking slowly. And I'm just like, I just hold my stuff out the window. I said, my wife is 8.5 months pregnant. We gotta get to the hospital. And he gave me the guy was nice. Okay, like I can't dishonor him whatsoever. But he goes and runs our stuff, and he told us, he was like, hey, I pulled you over because my supervisor was telling me how fast you were going back in Blunt Springs. They were just following me the whole way. And so the supervisor pulls up, sweetest old man in the world. He just comes up. He's like, hey, guys, how are you doing? I'm like, we're having children. That's how we're doing. And he goes, Billy, come on. They're having a kid. And Michelle goes, kids, there's two of them. He said, Billy, it's twins. Hurry up. Right? It's the craziest thing in the world. And so here's what, I'd say all of that to say this, is that I knew something, is that honor has everything to do with the position, not the person. That man was just doing his job. He was an on-duty police officer. And so what do I do with my authorities? I honor them whether I agree with them or not, right? Because they are the authorities. And at that moment, I knew, hey, this is not the time to get into an argument. This is not the time to get arrested on your kid's birthday, on their birthday, right? So what am I gonna do? I'm gonna listen to what he says. I might be delivering children while he's running my background check, which might or might not clear out, right? That's okay, right? Because I'm gonna honor my authorities. And look, I'm gonna say it again, is that honor has everything to do with the position, not the person. And so I wanna talk to really two different places today, and I'm gonna move right on through it. But I wanna talk for students and young people to honor their parents, and then for spouses to honor each other. In just a second, here's what I'm gonna do. I'm gonna talk about honoring parents, okay? And that doesn't just go for our young people that are sitting in the room, okay? I deal with young people all the time, and I'll give you a little bit of background on some conversations that I've had with some young people about what it looks like to honor your parents. But I'm not just talking to young people in here who are still living under their mother and their father's house. I'm talking to literally everybody inside of this room and everybody that's watching online right now. Because all of us in our life, whether we have physical parents or not, I don't, right? But I do have spiritual parents. All of us, everybody should have spiritual mothers and fathers. I have spiritual mothers and fathers in my life that when they tell me to do something, I just do it, right? Linda Stone, she was sitting on the second row right here. It's my spiritual mother. When she just tells me to do something, I do it. Why? Because I see her living that out. Pastor Andy's one of the spiritual fathers inside of my life. I listen to what he says. So everybody in here really is kind of the design and the way we set it up inside of our vision is that everybody should have relationship. You should be protected by relationship. You should have someone above you, or people above you, people beside you, and people below you. That's why we push small groups so hard here that start and launch today. That you should have people in your life. God designed his kingdom and he designed this earth relationally. And you're only gonna thrive in your life if the people around you are thriving. You're only gonna thrive in your life if you have mentors and you have spiritual mothers and fathers in your life that can help you thrive, can help you walk through situations. When you're in the middle of your own mess, you're not the one that needs to be making decisions for your life. You need to have people that speak into your life, that can see from the outside looking in, that sit at 30,000 feet, or people that have been through the situation that you've been through before. So when I talk about parents here in just a second, I want you to think of people that are not only just real, actual parents in your life, but I want you to think of people that are spiritual mothers and fathers, okay? Everybody say okay. And this is starting off with kids. And this is Ephesians 6, verse 2 through 3. It says this, honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise. Get that. This is the first commandment with a promise. It says this, if you honor your father and your mother, things will go well for you and you will have a long life on this earth. And so I want to give you three reasons or three things on following parents. I want you to know this is number one is that every parent is flawed. Every parent is flawed. But get this, respect is earned, honor is given. So maybe you've grown up in your life and you've had parents that they don't really have your respect right now. And I completely understand and know what you're going through. And I want to tell you a little bit of a story that God's really been walking me through over the last year and a half and dealing with some father wounds and some issues that I didn't even really know that I had. It was about a year and a half. Year and a half ago, 2 years ago, that I had to repent for something I told my father when I was 15 years old. Now, just a little bit of a background story. I had an incredible dad. At the age of 12, he had to go in and have surgery. Heart disease runs really rampant inside of our family. That surgery kind of went south really fast. He ended up throwing a clot. That clot went to his leg. They had to amputate his left leg. Well, that surgery was done pretty weird, and he was in a ton of pain. So my dad, he was a great man, but he got hooked on prescription painkillers. And I think all of us, if maybe you've walked through addiction before, maybe you're currently walking through addiction, or maybe you've been with somebody, you've been a codependent of somebody that's walked through addiction before, and you know this is that can change who they are. It really can change their personality. It can change their emotions, and it can make them turn into somebody that you've never ever even seen before. And that's really what happened to my father. And so over the next 2 years from that surgery, things were just getting really rough. He was verbally abusive, emotionally abusive, and we were going back and forth all the time, constantly fighting. And I'll never forget the day when my dad was standing at the top of the stairs inside of our house, and I looked at him at 15 years old. And I said, I'm more of a man than you are. I'll never forget that time. And I remember in that moment thinking, I am absolutely right. I am living my life pure as a 15-year-old student that hasn't been through the world, that hasn't been in the middle of a marriage, hasn't went through all the things that the adult life takes us through. And we know what that's like. But I remember saying that statement to him thinking, I am absolutely right in this moment. And it really, honestly, inside of my heart, I took the place of my father in my home. I knew that it was gonna be me that had to take care of myself. I knew that it was me that was gonna have to make decisions for myself. I knew that it was me that was gonna have to provide for myself. And in that moment, I took his place. Well, fast forward 10, 11 years later, I'm sitting before the Lord, and I'm not realizing why I'm struggling with some emotional issues that I'm struggling with. And the Lord's basically like, it's because you haven't dealt with some of the things that you've done. Is that you didn't have to respect your father for what he was doing. Respect is earned, but honor is given. And I remember the Lord just gently and kindly brought that moment to my life, and I had to say, God, I am so sorry for taking my father's place in that moment, and I will do everything I can to honor him. And I'll tell you this, it wasn't long after that, it was his 10th anniversary of his death and his birthday. And I remember sitting there, and it was not long after that prayer, and my whole mindset about my father had changed. I wasn't remembering him for those dark moments anymore. I was remembering him for those best moments. I was remembering those times that he took me to the ballpark and hit me ground ball after ground ball after ground ball. Man, he hit me ground balls in the batting cage with gravel one time, okay? Broke my nose, told me to get up. Man, it made me tough. It made me a man. I remember the times when we would go to the movies all the time and we would have a good time. I started to remember the best about my father at Wine because I started honoring his legacy again. And now that I have children, I look through a different set of eyes and I see some of the great things that he did inside of my life and realize that people make mistakes. Then honor is given, right? But honor is given in spite of people's mistakes. And the second one is this, is that I wouldn't be alive without my parents. You got to know that. I wouldn't be alive. And I would say it like this, is God was more interested in creating you than their parenting skills. Check that. God was more interested in creating you than their parenting skills. I remember growing up thinking, man, why can't I be in this family? Or why can't I grow up like my best friend from high school? Because their family, they seem like they got it together and he's always got a hot meal and they're always going places and they go on vacation. I haven't been on vacation in 4 or 5 years. And why can't I can't be like that? Maybe you've struggled with some similar thoughts of why couldn't I have the upbringing like them? Well, they grew up in money. That's why they're successful right now. Or they did this, or their parents did this for them. And I'm struggling right now. And I want to tell you this. Ephesians 2 verse 10 says that you are God's masterpiece created in advance to do good works through Christ Jesus. That doesn't matter what family you're a part of. That doesn't matter what race you come from. That doesn't matter your lineage. That doesn't matter who your parents, your grandparents, your great-grandparents are. God created you in advance for a plan and a purpose purpose, and it was to do great works through Christ Jesus. That is the bloodline for all of us, and that was so good you should clap right now. Thank you. Feel free to do that at any point in time. Number three is this, is that God chose their DNA to make you unique. Right? You were created in advance, but it says that you are God's masterpiece. That means that God hand-knits you together in your mother's womb. Psalm 139:13 says this, you made all delicate inner parts of my body and knit me together in my mother's womb. Jeremiah chapter 1 says the same thing. So what God knew what he was doing when he put you in the place that he put you. You know, it's crazy. I had this crazy upbringing. I don't have time to tell everybody about it, but in the craziest way, I'm thankful for the hardships that I went through. I'm thankful for the dark times that I went through. I'm thankful that in my developmental years that I had to go through struggles and situations, because honestly, Michelle and I, we get into struggles and situations now and I'm like, yo, we're gonna make it through this. If I can make it through my childhood, if I can make it through my adolescence, we got this, right? And so, hey, if you're in here today and maybe you've been through some trials with your parents, maybe you've been through some dark times and some tough moments. Hey, praise God that you're able to learn from those moments and you don't have to repeat those moments with your own children or your own spiritual sons and spiritual daughters. And then I would flip it like this and say, as children, we're supposed to honor our parents practically, all right? So I wanna give you a few things to honor your parents practically. Number one is this, obey them. If you're in here today, I want to let you know this, that obedience is a key piece of the Christian life. In fact, you're not going to make it long without it. I saw a tweet by a famous pastor yesterday. He said the most miserable person in the world is a rebellious Christian. Somebody who's not just walking and living in obedience with God, and then living in obedience with the people that God has put in their place. Ephesians 6 verse 1 says this, it says, children, obey your parents because you belong to the Lord, and this is the right thing to do. God's saying that. He's saying, hey, this is the right thing to do. You may not be able to see it at this time, but I can promise you this, the people who have been before you can see better than you can. Now, when we get older, our vision, it starts tanking just a little bit, but our vision for life is a lot better because we've been through it. If you're a young person in here today, I would encourage you, ask questions. Don't think you got it all together. It's very easy for us to do. Information is speeding up so rapidly. We have the smartest students in the world. We have the smartest children in the world. My 5-month-olds can already look and zone in and focus in on a TV screen. And they're just watching it, going back and forth. The information, technology is making us smarter and smarter and smarter. But I would say there's still nothing like wisdom that's been before us. And speaking of that, I want to tell you this. Obey your spiritual fathers and mothers. I remember one time Pastor Andy and I, we were playing golf and we were having a good time. It was in the middle of a drought a couple falls ago. There was a drought that came through. And I'll never forget, we're on like the 16th hole, we're about to get done, and there was this lake, this pond, that had dried up. And I'm like, PA, I'm gonna take a shortcut from the cart path, and I'm gonna drive through this old lake right here. And he's like, man, I'm telling you, that ain't a good idea, don't do it. And I'm like, PA, come on, we're gonna have a good time right here. And it's gonna save us a little bit of time. It'll save us like 12 seconds, right? He's like, man, I'm telling you, don't do it. I was like, I'm doing it. And so I get in the car. I've made some dumb decisions behind the wheel of a vehicle before, okay, just so you know. I get into the car and we go down this hill and I'm like, man, if we just get some speed, I know for sure, just in case it's a little muddy, we'll get through it. We go in. And we just stick. Look, Pastor Andy, he had just got some new golf shoes. He gets out of the cart and he starts stomping through and he starts to push the cart. He's like, hey, give a little gas. And then I just spray him with mud over and over and over again. Look, hey, your decisions as a young person, really in your life, you gotta know this, they have repercussions. They don't just have repercussions for you, has repercussions for everybody that you're around. That's why it's important for you to walk in obedience. When God tells you to do something, you do it, right? You trust him. Sometimes it doesn't make sense. Sometimes it seems a little bit painful. But look, when God gives a promise, between the promise and the payoff is a lot of pain. But we gotta trust that he's gonna get us through it, right? You obey your spiritual authority. You obey your spiritual fathers and mothers. You obey your parents. And then this, I would say if whenever you're doing this for your parents, listen to them. Proverbs 13:1 says this, intelligent children listen to their parents. Foolish children do their own thing. That just speaks for itself. Intelligent children, they listen to their parents. Foolish children, hey man, I'm gonna do my own thing. I know you said don't do this or do this. I'm gonna do my own thing. That day I should have listened to Pastor Andy when I was at the golf course, but I decided I'm gonna do my own thing. And I remember in the middle of that whole story right there, I said, there's a spiritual lesson in this, isn't there? And he's covered in mud and he's like, yeah, there is. And then we played the last two holes while he was muddy. It was awesome. And then I would say this, as adults, we do this for our parents. Appreciate them and provide for them. Proverbs 23:22 says this, listen to your father. Without him, you would not exist. When your mother is old, show her appreciation. Proverbs, there's another translation that says it like this. Pay attention to your father and do not neglect your mother as she grows old. If you're a follower of Jesus, God has called us to honor our parents. Remember, it has nothing to do with the person. It has everything to do with the position. Because I have parents, because I have spiritual mothers and fathers, because I have people in my life that hold weight in my life, I put them at the top and I honor them. And then I would say this as we transition into spouses is that sometimes, man, it's tough for us to honor our spouse. Why? Because you get to know each other. You get to see the best and the worst. You get to see the highlight reel and you get to see the worst about them, right? You get to see the behind the scenes. But here's a couple of things of reasons why we wouldn't honor our spouses. Number one is comfort. It's not a bad thing, it's a good thing, but comfort does not dismiss us from honor. And then there would be this, is that we see the mistakes that our spouse makes. But listen, honor is a choice that is not to be dictated by our feeling, but influenced by the Spirit of God. Honor is a choice. I choose to honor my wife. And I'll tell you this, some of you guys know this, the first year of marriage was tough for Michelle and I, and mainly because of my own selfishness, she would say mainly because of her own selfishness, and we just realized we were two big messes that came together to become one giant ultra mess, and we did, and it was tough, and it was a struggle, and I remember I was upstairs in my house praying one day, and the Lord really, really convicted me, but he said, Travis, I want you to tell me everything you like about your wife. Well, in the moment, it was like, she looks good. That's it. I was mad, right? I was bitter. I had an unforgiving heart. And I was like, I don't want to say much. And I would try and pray about other stuff. And you'd say, keep going. Lord, I like this about her. And I like this about her. And I like when she does this, God. I remember when she did this. And I would go on and on and on. And then, man, I'd start trying to pray about something else. And God would say, uh-uh. I said, keep going about your wife. All right, Lord, well, I really like that freckle on her lip. Like, it's kind of cute, you know, and I like to kiss her, you know. Like, I'm talking to you about this, God. This is crazy. Keep going. And man, I'm telling you, in that moment, I remember, and I still have to practice this today, that my heart started to soften for my spouse. What I would encourage you to do is don't only just honor your spouse once a year with an Instagram post about your anniversary. Don't just honor your spouse by just saying, yeah, she's all right, or he's all right. No, honor in spirit. God, let me tell you what I like about my spouse. Thank you. Can I say thank you for this? Can I say thank you for this? Can I say thank you for this? I guarantee, hey, maybe you're in the middle of a trial inside your marriage right now. God loves marriage. He designed it. I would say this. Hey, spend time with the Spirit of God talking about your spouse. My wife is the first person I pray for every day, and it's because the first has the ability to bless the rest. What you do first is the first fruits inside of Scripture. Man, I'm telling you, ever since I put my wife first inside of my prayer life, my marriage has been awesome. And I dedicate my life praying for my team and my students that they would experience a godly marriage because I know what a godly marriage is like. And it's the best part about my life. And look, I'll even tell you this. I got two beautiful twins, okay? At least I think they're beautiful, okay? If they're ugly, don't tell me, all right? Two beautiful babies. I'll tell you this, I love them. I'm smitten by them. Every time I walk in the room, I melt about them. I love my wife more. I love my wife more. And that's tough for some of you to say that. But look, here's the thing. They're going to be gone one day. She's always going to be with me. I will dedicate my life, invest my life into my wife. And guess what? The best part about my life today forever will be my wife. You can clap for that too. And she is good looking. So that's good. But Romans 12:10, we read this earlier. It says this, be devoted to one another. That doesn't say, hey, man, hey, just like each other, whatever. It says, be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. Do you honor your spouse? Look, some of you may feel like you've got a common marriage. If you want an uncommon marriage, treat your spouse as uncommon. If you want an uncommon marriage, treat your spouse as the best thing God could ever create. Hold that door open. Let them know. And I'm going to read a few things here in just a second. But find out where your spouse finds the most honor. Mine's when she scratches my back. Man, I just like, I'm in love. I get a back scratch. Someone said, woo, Jesus, help me. That's the best. You might expect that because I just honored you, Michelle. All right, so here are some questions every husband and wife need to ask themselves. If we answer no to any of these, I would check yourself in the honor category with your spouse. One, does my spouse's words carry the most weight in my life? We were writing this message and Adam Hicks wrote this part out and he actually wrote, does my spouse carry the most weight in my life? I was like, I'm not reading that, bro. That's not good. Does my spouse's words carry the most weight? Whenever she or he talks to you about something, do you just dismiss it because you're comfortable and you know their mistakes? Do you bring their mistakes back up to them? Number two, do I have real conversations with my spouse? Do I save the best of me for my spouse? Number four, are my thoughts and my eyes only on my spouse? I asked Michelle last night, I said, Michelle, when do you feel the most honor in our marriage? And I'll be honest, I really thought she was gonna say, whenever you go somewhere and preach and you talk about me, or whenever you post something about me, or whenever I hear someone say that you've talked about me to them, I really thought she was gonna say that. And I didn't know this. She said, I find the most honor whenever we're at a restaurant and a beautiful woman walks in and you never take your eyes off me. She said, I feel the most honor when you put a group text of girls in a conversation with me instead of texting them individually. She said, I feel the most honor when I look through your Instagram feed and notice that you specifically don't follow some girls because you want to keep focused on me. And I was like, I didn't even know that. I'm just trying to make my marriage as good as I can. But here's the thing is, and some of, maybe you've been through some rocky roads with that, And I'm not here to shame or condemn anybody, but I want to let you know is that what you invest in is what you're going to get back. The best part about my marriage is, or the best part about my life is my marriage, because I invest in my marriage, right? Because I expect an eternal return on my marriage. Number five is this, do I act the same way when my spouse is not around as I do when they are around? Do I support my spouse's dreams? It's a big one. Hey, if your spouse has got a dream, get behind it and pray that they would have a dream. Because it's fun being a teammate rather than being disunified. Do I speak highly of my spouse when they're not around? Do I handle conflict fairly with my spouse? Go listen to Pastor Andy's message on fighting fair. Do I handle it fairly? And the last one is this, does my spouse have full access to my life, to my cell phone, to my emails, to everything? Do they have access to it? Because when you just open yourself up for honor, man, you're gonna see a protection there. And I want to challenge us. I really felt challenged by this whole message, and for us to live a life of honor, to live a life dedicated into honor. And I want us to do a challenge, okay? Over the next 3 days, we all have social media platforms. If you don't, absolutely okay. Write a letter. I don't really know what you do, okay? Put a picture up and write a letter. But for all of us that do, over the next 3 days, take three people in your life. It can be parents, it can be kids, it can be a spiritual mother and father. And honor them, put them up and honor them and talk about some of the great things inside of their life. And I would encourage you to do this. Put up people that have made mistakes and let you down before and honor them anyways. And you'll see a blessing. There's a principle inside of scripture about honor. We see it as an inherent thread all throughout the scriptures. You know why? It's because the ultimate honor was this, that Jesus would come down from heaven, the dignity of heaven, to the depravity of earth and say, I'm going to put myself at the lowest point so that you can be elevated. I'm going to elevate myself on a cross so that I can be buried in a grave and raised again so that you can have life. It is the greatest and the sweetest sound of honor is the cross of Jesus Christ. Mark 10:45 says, "For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and give his life as a ransom for many." That should be the definition of honor. That God so loved the world. Remember what Romans 12 said? Honor each other in love. That God would look down from heaven and say, "I'm so in love with those people that I'm willing to bow to the lowest position so that maybe one day there's a shot they'll bow low before me." It's not even guaranteed. There's gonna be people that don't accept you. I'll do it anyways. God, do you not know their mistakes? Do you not know their sin? Do you not know the things that they do in private that no one else maybe will ever find out about? Do you not know their secrets? I know all of them. But I'm gonna choose to honor them. Because honor is not about the mistakes, it's about the position. So God took himself from the position of heaven to the position of the grave so that you and I would never have to live there again. Do you see that? Do you see the honor in that? That is the definition of honor. And today, whosoever would believe in him would not perish, but have everlasting life because of that honor and because of that action. Let's pray. God, we love you. And Lord, we mean that, Jesus. Lord, we honor you right now, Lord. In fact, Lord, in this moment, God, I'm gonna speak on behalf of this congregation. I'm gonna speak on behalf of our pastor. God, just thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you for everything that you've done for this church, God, for pouring out your spirit, for pouring out your blessings, Jesus, for pouring out everything that you have. Jesus, in this moment, as a church, God, we just say, we honor you, Lord, for everything that you've done for our life, but most importantly, what you did on the cross for us, God, that you would come live an ordinary life just like us, that you would work just like us, that you would breathe just like us, God. But God, you were going to do miracles, and the greatest one of all being the cross of Jesus. God, there you would die, Lord, taking on our sin, our shame, our regret, past, present, and future. God, go to the grave, but not stay dead. Jesus, we thank you for this, most of all, that you would rise again so that we could rise in this life. With nobody looking around, every head down, every eye closed, you just heard me describe the gospel, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And the reason why he did those things is so that you could have a choice. Romans 10:9-10 says to believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and you will be saved. Maybe you've heard that term before. Salvation is an offering of yourself, your whole self unto God. Jesus is either Lord of all or he's not Lord at all. It takes everything because he gave everything. Now today, if you want to make the most important decision of your life to say, God, today I'm going to give my whole life to you. I'm not gonna do this halfway anymore. I'm not gonna do this church thing anymore. God, I'm gonna show you the highest honor I can by saying, God, I bow the lowest I can before you and say that I am in total need of you. And if you wanna make that decision today, I'm gonna count to three. I'm just gonna ask that you would just slip your hand up. One, Jesus loves you. He's pursuing you. Two, he honored you by coming down from heaven to that cross. Three, if that's you, would you just slip your hand up so I can see it? All right. Maybe there are some that raised their hands. Maybe there's some that wasn't. Maybe there are some that online right now, you've decided to give your life to Jesus. If that was you today, can we just go ahead and celebrate, church? Come on. Here's what I would encourage you to do. Now look, we're a church all about next steps, and we're gonna show this online right now, but we're a church that's all about next steps. In fact, we got it on the screen right here. Here's what we would encourage you to do. If you gave your life to Christ today and you said, God, you are Lord of all, text DC1 to 31996. And we're gonna walk you through a few next steps. And we wanna tell you a lot more about that community and the small groups that we were talking about and baptism and how you can really get going in your next steps with God. And then for anybody in here today, if you're just saying, hey, Travis, I need a spirit of honor on my life and I need Jesus to give it to me, would you raise your hand so I can pray for you? Come on, got mine up. I wanna honor more, man. I wanna honor more. So Jesus, we love you. God, we just, God, we ask for a spirit of honor to bless this house, Jesus. God, that we would always, always, always honor you, God, because you are the only one deserving of praise. Jesus, we love you. We praise you and everybody.